The Angel Feast Magic Hour.
The Angel Feast Magic Hour.
Hi guys, you're listening to the Angel Face Magic Hour, and I am your host. I'm Grace Lennon. I'm a psychic medium, an energy healer, an artist, and the host of this podcast. So welcome back, you guys. We are officially in the fall season. Yesterday was the autumn equinox. We just had a new moon a few weeks ago. I feel that fresh start, that fresh energy, and just moving into new opportunities for change within society and within our human bodies. So I'm really excited for fall and for what's to come next in our daily life. So if you want to set some intentions, now is a beautiful time to do so. We also just had the Jewish New Year, so, and the Witch's New Year is pretty much the equinox. So I really think this is a perfect time for us to make changes in our life. Any day is an opportunity for change, and you don't need a new year or a birthday or a holiday or an equinox to tell you that you can just change. You can try something different. But I do think when we move with the changing of times, when we move with the seasons, I think it can be really beneficial because nature is changing too. So we can kind of ride that wave and be able to see the reflections of nature within us. We are always changing. We are always shifting. And now is the perfect time to set some intentions on who do you want to become and who do you want to change into? And how can you accept who you are in order to not feel like you have to constantly evolve and change, to know that it's okay to be who you are because you were created that way? And I'm just so excited to share our conversation. So today on the podcast, we have another guest, and I'm thrilled to share this conversation. I recorded this literally months ago. And as some of you know who listened to last week's episode, I've just been kind of like ruminating in my thoughts and circling in my vortex of who do I want to be and how do I want to show up. And so I just needed some time to kind of like think about that. But we are back. We are here and we are ready to shine and we are ready to share and we are ready to connect. So today I'm going to be sharing a conversation that I recorded a few months ago with a return guest, with Nikki G. Nikki Giacara. She is an amazing medium and she's also a coach, and among many other things, her and her husband Nick have created a beautiful product called Epsolution. It's Epsom salt that you can use for soaking your feet, taking a bath, doing a little scrub. It's going to be replenishing, rejuvenating, recovery redefined is their little slogan. So this is an Epsom salt blend. And today on the episode, we talk about the product that Nikki has launched. When we recorded this, it hadn't come out into the world yet, but it has since come out. You can purchase it and you can get a subscription, which I think is really cool and super unique, but really cool for something like Epsom salt because they're fucking heavy. They're so damn heavy. So to get that stuff sent directly to your house and to know that, oh, it's just always going to be coming. I think I don't always go for a subscription. Like if they're like vitamins, get a subscription. I'm like, no, I'll just buy more vitamins when I'm out. But this honestly, I think this and period products, I'm like, okay, this is super useful because I use this all the goddamn time. So I think personally, I think that's a really exciting idea. But in this conversation, we talk about Epsolution, the product that Nikki has created. We talk about Epsom salts and the magic of magnesium. As some of you know who are clients of mine, I am obsessed with magnesium, not only from a physical standpoint, clearing and cleansing your energy comes through Epsom salts. It can be really helpful to clear and cleanse your energy through doing a salt soak. Salt is cleansing. Salt is cleansing. So it's going to do that in your physical body, but it's also going to do that in your energy, in your aura. We pick up energy from people and things and thought forms all day long. So even if you don't even leave your house and you're just scrolling on social media, you could still be picking up energy from other people. Even just other people thinking about you can send energy towards you, whether that's positive or negative. So just knowing that something like Epsom salt, like a salt bath, a clearing bath, a protection, a spiritual bath, that is a beautiful way for you to cleanse your energy. Magnesium is also grounding. So if we're up in the astral all the time, like doing weird meditations and shamanic journeying and talking to our spirit guides, like we need to come back into our body. We need to come back to earth. And Epsom salt for me has been a huge solution for that. And so it's really cool to be able to share this product because I would buy this even if I didn't know Nikki. But the fact that I know Nikki makes me want to buy it even fucking more to support her and her husband and their endeavors. But also, this is a handcrafted product. It's beautiful, smells delicious. When they added fragrance, we talk about it in the episode, it's beneficial. It's not doing stuff just because it smells good. It has benefits and reasons behind every little element of it. So we talk about the product today, and I really encourage you guys to check it out. I'm going to put the links, if you want to purchase some Epsom salts, in the show notes, as well as any links to connect with Nikki. And if you want to learn more about Nikki in terms of her mediumship work, you can check out our previous interview we did a couple years ago. And we talk about mediumship and all sorts of stuff. But today we're getting more into the physical body. How can we support ourselves both physically, emotionally, and spiritually through the way that we take care of ourselves? So we're talking about a little bit about nutrition, a little bit about physical health. And just know, yes, Nikki knows what the fuck she's talking about. She is very talented and very experienced in this world. But disclaimer, neither her or I are doctors. I'm a medium and an esthetician. She's a medium and a coach. She has very much has experience in, you know, health and wellness. But just remember, neither of us are doctors. So don't just go taking every supplement we talk about without making sure that it's something that would work for you. And consult your doctor, of course. And if I always want to remind people too, if you're going to be taking supplements, which I think are very helpful, one, maybe go see a doctor and they can give you recommendations for brands and quality and all of that. But also remember, if you're on any kind of medication, whether that is psychiatric medication or medication for your physical body, for your heart, your stomach, whatever it is, diabetes, whatever it is, just make sure that there is no contraindications. Just make sure that if you're taking this, it's not going to be bad for you because you're on something else. So, just a precaution. We will be talking about the body. We will be talking about health. But consult with a professional. Okay? Okay? All right. I love you guys. I really hope you enjoy this conversation. Again, if you want to connect to Nikki, follow her on Instagram at the Nikki G Show, I think. But anyway, all the links and everything, as I mentioned, will be in the show notes. And if you want to connect with me, you can go to my website, gracelennon.com. And I have plenty of beautiful offerings on there. Otherwise, I will see you in the main conversation. And happy Equinox. Okay, bye guys. Hello everyone. Welcome back to the podcast. Welcome back to Angel Face Magic Hour. I'm excited. We are back with another return guest. We're back with Nikki G. And I'm so excited to talk to you. I'm getting a little chills. But Nikki is, I don't know, I've been how to explain you. You have so many different titles. So I'm sure you can give us some information about you, but I would describe you as a coach. You're also a medium. We've had you on the podcast to talk about your mediumship. And if people want to listen to that episode again, I'll put that in the show notes. I'll put links to connect with Nikki in the show notes.
But you do a lot of different stuff and you help a lot of people with their body as well as energy and spirituality. So I'm really excited to kind of ask you some more physical body questions today, but both of us are mediums, so I'm sure it's going to be relevant to spirituality. But yeah, I just have you briefly introduce yourself, where you're located, and anything you want to share.
All right. Well, I am Nikki Giacara. I currently live in Denver, Colorado. I'm originally from New Jersey, but I came out here for college, loved it, moved to Los Angeles, decided to move to Miami, and then kind of found myself back in Denver because I just love it here so much. I am a full-time coach. I'm also a personal trainer. And what I mean by coach is I have quite a few online clients, around 75 at the moment, ranging from lifestyle clients all the way
through 75.
That's crazy. But ranging from lifestyle clients all the way through competitive or competition clients for bodybuilding. I myself am an IFBB pro. So, during my fitness career, I wanted to compete and, got my highest ranking pro title that you can get. So that's exciting. I'm a medium, of course. That's like what we discussed the first podcast. And yeah, just kind of work with all people of all walks of life. They used to call me the plug in Miami because I would just like have connections to everything for some reason. They'd be like, just call Nikki. She'll get you a plumber, and be like this random thing. And I'm like, okay, sounds good.
I love it. Yeah. You got the ins, but yeah, I'm really excited. I saw that you are coming out with this Epsom salt. I don't even know if that's it, or if there's going to be other products, but I'm really excited to just talk to you about that project that's coming out. But also I'm obsessed with magnesium. I talk about magnesium, like I could talk about it all day. It comes up with my clients more for my skincare clients as well as psychic clients, especially with energy healing. It's something I recommend to people all the time. So I'm excited to kind of hear about that. And then I thought we could talk a little bit about just like what people can do on a very basic level just to start getting more nutrients in their body. Because, what you do is way, you're a performance, you're like an athlete. So the way that you support yourself, I'm sure is probably next level from what an average person does.
Yes.
But I think that it's something that we can all aspire to see. Okay, we can take care of our body in day-to-day life, but then we can also do it in more of these extreme ways, like the competitive work. But yeah, tell us about the Epsom salt. How did this come through? And then maybe a little bit about how people can purchase it when it's available.
Definitely. So my husband and I created Epsolution. That is the official title of our product. Recovery Redefined is our slogan. And the product actually came about during my most rigorous competing years where I was truly like training 6 to 8 clients a day. I would have up to 2 hours of cardio a day. I was also having weight training per day. So like, it was a lot of training, overtraining, honestly. Not one competitor that you will ever meet will tell you that training for a show is like, oh yeah, it was easy. No, it's not. So I needed something that was going to help me replenish my ATP storage. And I'll get into the science later, but it was more so about needing a product that was going to allow me to recover better and faster due to my overtraining schedule, my undersleeping schedule, and just being awake. And, my first client would sometimes start at 5 or 6 in the morning. My last client would end between 7 and 9 PM at night. I didn't work all the way straight through, but having 4 to 5 in the morning, my own stuff, and 4 or 5 more at night, 6 days, in a week, it becomes a lot. So Epsolution was created during the time that we were living in Miami, as I needed something to make me sleep better, something to make me recover better. And it wasn't until probably 1.5, 2 years ago where we were able to connect with the right person as our investor here out in Colorado. And then since then is really when we put the pedal to the metal as far as the production going, forward. And actually, this Friday is the first delivery of our 20,000 units of the 66,000 units. It's actually 19,404 to be exact, but 20,000 is fine. And our first batch of 20,000 units gets delivered. So yeah, we're basically going to be the first and only direct-to-consumer Epsom salt business on demand. So basically, you will have an option to subscribe to whatever amount works for you in that month. It'll be a subscription service so that you're not having to schlep pounds and pounds of salt from your house, because
I'm excited personally.
Like, regardless of what age you are, I don't want to carry 40 pounds of salt. Like, it doesn't work for me. So it ships directly to you guys. And yeah, we're going to be the first to for direct to consumer for our Epsom salt product. It is made with a patented blend, I should say, of essential oils, which is even cooler because a lot of you guys are using, you know, other competitor brands, Dr. Teal's, Whole Foods brand, whatever it is. But what people are failing to realize is in the Epsom salt market, when you add things like lavender or, you know, other fragrances, you're not actually hydrating your body. You're dehydrating your body because
I always get the plain.
Perfect. And that's the part. So if you're wondering like what you can do now to start that, or really just to better inform yourself, get the plane. That's always going to be the best bet, and we're going to do some studies down the road to show you guys like the pH difference of the water and what's, you know, compared. And we're going to do all this stuff to just show you like, here's why our product is better.
If you need any testing subjects.
Oh yeah, I got you. And so basically, because the Epsolution is formulated with an essential oil mix, it's actually very hydrating to your muscles, not just on a topical level, but like from the inside out. And a lot of people don't realize that when you take a supplement like magnesium, you're only absorbing about 30% of that supplement. So yes, even though you're consuming it based on what they recommend and the number of capsules or pills per day, you're only getting 30% of that because of the breakdown of what happens inside. Being that your skin is the largest organ, having something that's topical like that is actually going to be somewhere in the 90 to 95% absorption rate. So when you're sitting in an Epsom salt bath or a foot soak, because those work as well, you're getting more potent magnesium absorption, which is ultimately going to better the other functions of your body. And as you know, there's so many benefits of magnesium, and 98% of people are magnesium deficient. And that's a whole different subject, but comes from lack of soil quality and things like that we don't have in today's world that we used to maybe 50 years ago. So yeah.
So amazing. I'm really excited. Can you tell us what kind of magnesium's in there?
So ours is magnesium sulfate. It's a mix with one of our oils is a Siberian fir oil. And it almost has like I don't want to say a pine scent, but it's a very distinct scent that is blended with our salt. So, you know, when we were formulating this ourselves and trying to figure it out how we're going to make this work, we would mix our drops with the salt, you know, and do all these things during the trial periods. But the way that this is basically patented is its blending process, and in the plant it's blended with our salt right on site. So basically you're not getting into a bath with one, you know, half the bag is more potent than the other. It's all even, you know, the dosage, if you will, or the prescription, or whatever the correct verbiage is. And a couple of our clients that have used it so far have kind of described it as like, it's like my muscles feel buttery. It just feels more, I don't know how to explain it. Just it permeates better. You sleep better. You recover better. As most, you know, most people won't or don't know this, but without magnesium, you're not able to, you know, your hormones depend on you having magnesium. So if you have hormonal disruption because of whatever it is you're dealing with, autoimmune, environmental, mold, whatever it is, you're going to get better benefits and more efficient processes in the body if your magnesium is replenished. You know, our ATP gets replenished in a salt bath, and ATP is like the basis of the cellular level, right? So all these things are kind of dependent upon having magnesium. You know, our vitamin D is better absorbed when we have magnesium. There's so many different things that come back to magnesium and come back to salt, because salt is a major electrolyte. It's a major conductor. So yeah, it's a lot of research has been done.
Yeah, it's fascinating. Full-time
job now, but it's definitely cool. It's I think what's coolest about it is it came from something that I needed. It came from something that, you know, there was a void in my life trying to figure out how I can recover better. And due to our own research and persistence and trying to figure out this, this, and this, we were able to come up with something that not only benefits me, but soon to be the world. And I firmly believe that this product is going to change so many lives, and I'm just excited to watch it unfold.
That's so amazing. Yeah. And I'm sure you know this, but for people listening, like when we get anxiety or stress, which is unfortunately chronic in our country and the world, but especially America, the magnesium is one of the first things to go. So many people are just deficient because of emotional reasons. And then of course we have added physical stuff too. And then for someone like you, who's using their body all the time, you're releasing that through your sweat. And then from an energetic perspective, anytime we're doing Reiki or something like that, we are using up the energy the same way that we would physically. So even if you're like meditating, you probably need magnesium.
Oh, 100%. You know, it's, and when you think about it from like a spiritual standpoint, you know, water is a conductor. You're in a bath, you're in a space where you're able to, like, most of my ideas, no joke, come from like either when I'm in the shower or in the bathtub and I'm like, oh, I gotta write this down. Like, oh, I don't have my phone, where am I, you know, and like I'm dealing with this whole mess here. But it's, you know, we're born in a womb that is made of like, what is it, amniotic fluid, and like we're in water. That's why babies love water. And you know, again, for those of you out there like, well, I don't have a bathtub. Well, that's okay.
You can do salt, so like a salt scrub even, but I like doing a foot bath or whatever.
Yeah, foot baths are easy. Like it's something that you can literally put your feet in, you're watching television, and just 20 minutes there, you're good to go. And again, our feet are our grounding point of our body. So having that connectedness to ourself is just huge. You know, it's crazy. There's so much I've learned over the last couple of years, and I'm like, that all makes sense.
Yeah, it's so interesting. And I think too, with the bath, I think it can be really cleansing. Like I always suggest Epsom salts just from a spiritual cleanse kind of perspective. Like if we're doing some kind of reading or something, like as an intuitive, we have to find a way to clear energy. So I think Epsom salt is a really accessible way because it's helping your body too.
Absolutely.
Well, can you tell us if someone was to want to up their nutrient game, like what would be the primary things to focus on? Like magnesium?
Definitely magnesium is going to be a, and again, these are all, I have
general, to say, of course.
Generally, because of course, with anything, like if I were to tell somebody to go take vitamin D, they could be taking too much vitamin D, right? Like there's
a lot of consult a doctor, you guys.
Of course. So, but generally, you know, magnesium, like some of my staples really are obviously magnesium. I do take a really good vitamin D, a liquid vitamin D, because that a proper vitamin D should be housed in an oil. Like a fat, because vitamins A, D, and K are fat absorbable or fat soluble. So if you're taking a vitamin D pill and you're not taking it with a fat or eating it with a meal that has more fat in it, you're not doing anything for yourself. Sorry to say, newsflash. So some brands out there, I have one that's in a liquid dropper that goes under my tongue. And again, same thing with vitamin D. If you're not taking a vitamin K2, your body will not absorb the vitamin D. So there's so many loopholes with supplements, especially. And, you know, of course, doctors want to have their opinion on supplements and how they don't work. That's okay. You know, but if it's done properly and if they have their proper prescriptions, or you're working with a naturopath that really knows the uptake channels and the correct methods and way you should take certain things and time of day you should take certain things, that all makes a big difference. So for me, I would say my biggest go-to is obviously the magnesium, vitamin D. With that being said, the part two of that would be the K2 to support.
I just learned this recently and I just bought a liquid vitamin D with K2. And so there's my confirmation. I'm doing the right thing.
Exactly. What else for basics?
Are you an electrolytes person?
I am. I actually take a really good mineral complex that I love. Again, recommended by my naturopath. I stay away from things that are like electrolyte mixes because they're usually littered with artificial sweeteners and things to make them taste better. And it's like, listen, you're doing really good on one hand, company, but on the other hand, you're putting things like absorbic acid in there that completely counters what you're taking or what you're doing. So the mineral complex that I take is Complete Mineral Complex. It's just a chelated mineral formula. I'm looking at the bottle right now. And that's something that I take again, because I'm a sweater. It's the middle of the summer. I do a lot of physical activity. And more often times than not, people are deficient in those things because of our own bodily functions, excretions, sweat, Epsom, you know, those kind of things. So that would be my biggest bet as far, or my best bet for electrolytes would be something like a mineral complex, simply because that's going to, you're getting rid of all the like fluff. You don't need to
put. No, there's a lot of sugars and like random, weird citric acid and random things that we don't need.
And then last but not least, of course, another variation of salt, pink Himalayan salt, making sure that you're really staying on the good kind of salt. And this is a big misnomer for a lot of people, is they think, well, salt, my doctor said salt's bad. Right. Table salt is bad for you. It's NaCl. That's a chemically induced product. That is why people with high blood pressure cannot take or have table salt, because it literally will like retard the medicine from working. So if you take something like a pink Himalayan salt, it is going to give you, it's going to bring water into your cells. It's going to make you hydrated from the inside out, not just like surface level. So when you have the table salt instead, that's why they get puffy. That's why they get water retention. That's why they're swelling, because it's not actually hydrating your cells. Pink Himalayan will take those nutrients and shuttle them into your cells, making you more hydrated from the inside out. So truly, you cannot overdo pink Himalayan salt. Even my competitor clients, you see a lot of coaches out there where they pull their salt for, you know, last week of a show, and it's like, why? You're literally disrupting their pH, their balance. Myself, I pour pink Himalayan salt on all my stuff, whether it's, God, I mean, bone broth, whether it's my breakfast, my eggs, like it's literally the only salt that I use, or the only seasoning I use. But it is so, so good for you, and you cannot overdo it. So for my salt people out there, stay salty.
Yes, for real. I love Himalayan salt. And I also like the Celtic gray salt. It's like just a little different flavor, but
really. And I have a pink Himalayan. I also have a Redmond salt. Redmond is another big one. Redmond's is good because you can basically, again, not all salt sources are created equal. So if you are getting salt that's, you know, not regulated, you can get stuff that's like radioactive. You can get things that are also not good for you. So Redmond's is another really good one. You can get that on Amazon, super easy. But as you can tell, everything that I do for the most part, just on what I've listed, is really to just hydrate. Most people, I'm talking 99.9% of people, are dehydrated. And I'm not just talking, oh, I need to get my water in for the day. Chronic years of dehydration. They don't understand this. So I get a client who's like, well, I can't lose weight. I can't do this. And I'm like, when was the last time you drank a gallon of water a day? And they can't answer the question. And it's like, if without the water, I can't hydrate you. So these are the things that I try to implement, so that they're getting as much as they can from their water. And before you know it, their thirst comes up and they're more thirsty. They're having more water-based vegetables, and everything seems to move in the right direction.
Yeah, I think that's a huge problem. We, at the spa that I work at, we have like a sauna. And I think a lot of people don't realize that when they sweat like that, like they have to, it's not just about the water, it's like the food and all the other things, because you're not going to just replenish from like going to a sauna every day by drinking like a glass of water right after.
Are they doing better than most people? Yes, A plus for just being there and showing up and having the awareness to do something better. But I tell my clients all the time, like, if you put something in, there's going to be a reaction. You have to make sure, like, or if you take something out, there's going to be a reaction. You have to make sure that you're balanced. And a lot of the times when people overdo it with saunas, especially, I love saunas, so especially infrared.
Yeah, that's my favorite.
Nice. And, but you know, with that, they're like, well, they feel like they were like hit by a truck the next day. And I'm like, well, what did you do to hydrate? Nothing. Did you have any bone broth? No. Did you have any salt? No. What are you going to keep? What are you going to keep detoxing for? You got nothing left. Like, respectfully.
Yeah. There's nothing left.
They're like shriveled up. I think of like Plankton from SpongeBob, and he's like angry and shit. Yeah, you have no hydration. That's why.
Yeah. People, when people get obsessed with it, I notice with the sauna or some kind of detoxing, when that's not necessarily what they need in the moment. Like, maybe you need to detox if you have a serious health problem, but.
And more is not always better. People think like, oh, you know, a lot of my times with clients, it's like, oh, I need to do more of this. I need to work out more. Half the time my clients that come to me that are overtrained, I'm like, you need to do less. So you're going to go from working out 6 days a week to four. And they're like, I'm like, if you do what you've always done, you'll get what you've always gotten. And I think truly stepping into this product and really finding you know, every angle and every potential counter and question and this, and having all the answers ready to go, you know, I realized that there is, it's really powerful to have stillness. You know, it's not how much more you can do. It's not how much, you know, I get all the time, how much can you lift? I don't know. Like, relative to what? Like, you know what I mean? Like, so it's really about having the well-balanced effect. Like, if you're not prioritizing your recovery as much as you are prioritizing your workouts, there's an imbalance. If you're not prioritizing your hydration as much as you are, you know, the sweating, there's an imbalance. And it's all about finding that balance that works for you, for the most part, unless somebody's doing like a rigorous goal, like a competition or something that requires a lot of discipline and a lot of repetitive ongoing things. But for most people, it's like all or nothing. And I'm like, why don't we just find a happy medium somewhere in between?
Yeah, I think people get really intimidated with like, yeah, supplements and how much should I work out and how much should I do this? And it kind of defeats the whole purpose, unless of course, yeah, you're training for this like competitive thing or you're actually like an athlete. But otherwise, I think it's really about the emotions, like how can you support yourself through it? And I think the more that we can create like little routines in the day, then that helps like see how everything else can go into place. That's what something I definitely admire about you. Like you're very disciplined, and it doesn't seem to be, at least from my observation, it doesn't seem to be boring to you. That's something that it's taken me so much to become disciplined, because I'm like, that's fucking boring. I want to do mix it up. So I think it's really cool that you can do, you know, continue to do these same things, but you're still leading a very exciting life.
Yeah. You know, I just got to look at, and every call, and actually it's one of my to-dos this evening is to kind of revamp and reassess, because I just moved in the last few weeks. So my schedule is a little bit different. So I'm just trying to find my grounding again. And like my workouts have not been at the usual time. So that's been throwing me off. And, you know, but what is usual, right? Like we create the system that we're bound to, then we get mad. It doesn't happen. It's like, what is that? That there is no balance in that case. Right. So I think it really just comes down to like finding out like what your non-negotiables are. Obviously in my case, it's, I'm going to work out. Like I have 5 days of lifting a week. That's just what works best for my body. It's how I recover best. It works best in my work schedule and things like that. It allows me to schedule my Epsom salt baths on days where I'm going to get my blowout the next day and all these things. So I think my best advice for somebody who's new to just trying to find a schedule of any sort is just writing down like what your non-negotiables are. What can't you go without every single week? Is it that, you know, 4 a.m. meditation? Is it, you know, X amount of days of working out? Is it 2 days a week of yoga? Whatever that is, you write that down. And every week, just like when you're doing your schedule for the following week or around your work schedule, again, I'm more of an entrepreneur, so I don't have a 9-to-5. You know, you put them into your calendar as if they're appointments, because if they were appointments with your CEO of the company, you wouldn't cancel them. So why is yourself any less of a priority than a meeting with your boss? That's kind of the first thing. And then from there, you can kind of find the variation with that. Like there's a dance studio that's here in Denver. And I'm like, I kind of really want to take dance class. And I'm like, I've never done this. I'm going to be the 35-year-old in a dance class who's never danced before. What am I doing? You know, when you go through that and you figure it out and it's like, okay, well, why don't you start with a class that you know you're going to be good at? Shuffling. They have a Tuesday night at 7:15. When I get the courage to work it into my schedule, I'm going to add it into my schedule. I'm going to show up and do it. You know, and it's, you know, within my routine, I try to make it as fun and as flexible as possible. And, you know, I'm sure I'll get people that are like, well, you have to work out 5 days a week. That's like the same. To a point, yeah, it is the same. There's no doubt about that. But the gym I can go to can be changed. The person I'm working out with could be potentially changed. You know, the salad I'm getting from the restaurant after my workout could be changed. It's just whatever it is, like those mini systems of like discipline, reward. And before you know it, it just becomes autopilot. You know, and if you're struggling, there's always people out there that can help you figure that out or formulate it, but you got to find out what your non-negotiables are first. And if you don't know what those are, no one can help you. You know, I ask yeah, that question all the time.
More soul seeking must happen.
Yeah. And that's your job to figure out. You know, I get clients who change their goals every other day, literally. And they're like, I don't want you to be mad. Why would I be mad at you for changing your goals and finding your true purpose? I am not mad. I just want you to know what you want so that I can find the plan to support that. If you need more mindfulness, then we pull back on the workouts and we add more of that journaling and that quiet time, that meditative space. If we need more of an aggressive push, then we do that. But it has to come from you knowing what you want, or knowing what you need more than anything. And then from there, finding the support system that can help you build that network of discipline around it. But to your point, it gets boring a little bit, but I remember in the bigger, you know, bigger scheme of things, it's totally not about aesthetics for me at this point in my life. It's just a side effect from working out. It's just more about my mental health and staying grounded, you know, working with 75 clients, 75 different energies, plus their spouse, plus their sisters. And this person is living in their house. So I have a whole network of things that I deal with from one person that I have to kind of filter through. So taking care of your needs, your priorities, your schedule, your fulfillment has to come first, because you cannot pour from an empty cup.
Yeah. And that's actually been coming up a lot with in readings recently, just like people not knowing what they actually want or what they actually desire, or even more than that, it's like a shame of what they want. So they're like, I want this, whether it's like, I want a big ass, or I want a lift, or I want $1 million, or I want more clients. Like, it's, they feel like that's stupid to want that. And I feel like that's something that has been coming up for a lot of people, just being able to clear the idea of like your desires are not worthy.
Right.
Which I think is really interesting.
And I think it's coming up a lot too, just planetary, like with planets. Like I have a lot of, when I do my weekly check-ins with my clients, generally things will happen in trends. So like if I see a couple clients coming up, they're high stress this week, or I had a horrible week at work, I know it's the week of the work week. Like, this is what we're doing. You know, I tell all my clients specifically, like, I don't personally care what your goal is. I don't, what it's, it could be far-fetched as hell. It could be common. It could be whatever it is. If it's important to you, it's important to me. And I will only ever match your efforts into said goal. So if you want something, I'll formulate that plan and we'll backtrack from there and make it happen. You know, but I think part of that is sitting with yourself, holding space for yourself and figuring out what it is that you want. Do you spend X amount of minutes per day in thought without an iPhone, or without television telling you what to think, or without the neighbor, you know, complaining about what she saw in the news for the last 12 days? Like, none of that matters. Whatever your goal is, whatever you want to achieve, whatever you imagine yourself or envision yourself doing, as far-fetched as it sounds, you can do it. It's your choice. You can do it. It could be a little bit easier for somebody next to you. It could be a little bit harder for somebody next to you. But at the end of the day, if it's important to you, you can make it happen. And, you know, it's not just with fitness, it's with anything. It's with a business. It's with, you know, getting yourself out of your parents' home. It could be a relationship. It could be a job you never thought that you would have. It's all possible. It just requires the proper thinking, the proper support system, and the proper, truly, like the way you view yourself, like self, yes, self, you know, not actualization, but self discovery. You know what I mean? Like, half the time my husband, when I tell him my goals, he's like, okay, no idea how you're going to get there. Like, I can hear him. Like, I don't know how to do this, but I do it. And he's just right there. She did it. It's like, well, no, here we are.
So yeah.
Be firm in that. You know, if you, and I tell my clients this, the ones that compete specifically, if you're not sure about your posing routine, if you're not sure about your physique, and you think you're going to go on stage to a posing, to do your posing routine in front of a panel of judges of 12 people and convince them that you should be number one, when you yourself don't even think that you're number one, stay home, because we've already lost. And you have to be that, have such a belief in yourself that win or lose, you did all that you could, and you showed up for yourself, and you did the work, and you didn't cut the corners. And of course, competing is a lot more black and white than something in real life. But you know,
the same thing, you know, if it's at work or even just like, yeah, relationship conversation, like if you don't feel confident in it, it's not like you're manipulating people with your confidence, but no, you're like just showing up, and that's what people will be attracted to.
100%. Like, I've met crazy people with like insane goals, and I'm like, you know what? They believe in this thing more than I believe in you. I'm not sure the idea is going to work, but I believe in your strength and your perception of how it's going to go down. That if I were to pick 5 people to be hired on my team, I'd pick you, because of the fact that you are so sure of what you're doing, that even if it goes wrong, whatever wrong means, it's right, but just not right in the right moment. You know, it's a lot of things have to do with perspective. But if you yourself don't know what you want, we can't really go anywhere from that. It's hard.
Yeah, I mean, think of it as simple as just like, what do you want to have for dinner? We're never going to have dinner if we can't figure that out.
No, and you see all these communication issues in relationships. And I'm just like, if you, and that's the other thing that comes up a lot too as of recent, especially with my clients. It's like, if you can't be direct about how you feel, if this makes you uncomfortable and you can't tell this person, hey, this makes me uncomfortable, that's step one. They're not ignoring you. Your husband isn't doing this on purpose. This isn't happening. You haven't told them this is bothering me, period. It's that simple. If you can communicate clearly with yourself, with your own needs and what you have going on, everything in your life will become exponentially better on how you communicate to everybody. You don't have to deal with those friendships that linger because you're like, oh, I don't want to go to this, but I want to tell them. I don't want to hurt their feeling. If you don't like going to the XYZ restaurant and you tell them on day one, they'll never ask you to go to the restaurant again. But if you don't say anything for five restaurants or five hangouts later and you're still going to the same restaurant, you're going to be mad about it. And then ultimately that lack of communication messes up the relationship.
God. Yeah. And I think people are, I think sometimes scared to communicate with themselves too. Like, oh, I don't actually want to do that. And then that brings up like a fear of sharing that.
Totally. It can come from a fear of something of a trauma in their childhood, from not speaking up. It can come from fear of rejection, fear of, oh, I don't want my idea to fall to the wayside. Oh, I tried and then it fell, you know, it, all of it. Like, and that's okay, but we're not going to grow in our comfort zone. We're not going to grow by not speaking speaking up about things that matter to us. And I tell my people all the time, the only person you're robbing is yourself, because you're robbing yourself of joy and time by sitting there doing things that you don't like to do. And it could be fixed, you know, it's just, and there's ways of doing it. It doesn't need to be a very direct conversation. Like I would probably say it can be in the form of a text message or a letter or a note or whatever it is, but it all comes back to you.
Yeah. Yeah, totally. And I think like the childhood stuff definitely I see come up for people because they assume it's going to be a reaction in one way because that's what they experience. So, okay, if they had someone yell at them when they express their desires, you're going to think that's going to happen again. So it's like getting to a place where you can let go.
Absolutely.
Which is, I think, the hardest part.
Yeah, and it's also about surrounding yourself with like people that also can understand. I'm not saying that everybody's going to understand your needs, but being around somebody who is compassionate enough to listen. Maybe they don't understand, but they're able to listen, and that's just step one. You know, and nobody's going to speak up in an environment where they're not welcome. I didn't as a child. Like, nope, I'm good. I'll go to school. I'll be validated at school. I'll come home and do my sports and do my homework and all this. We'll make it work. But, you know, it's also your audience. And if your audience is an audience that you can't be yourself in front of, that's another question. Like, why are you with or around these people that you can't truly be yourself with? If you were just yourself 100% for the minute you, like the show Wednesday, I don't know why she pops in my head, but like she's herself. She's going to attract friends that come around that like her for who she is. And she's not pretending to be anybody else. And, you know, when you're just authentically yourself, that will always attract the other people who are authentically themselves. And it filters a lot of nonsense. It's just, it's great.
That's why I like you. Exactly. But yeah, I think it's really, I don't know what it is. I mean, I don't know if it's more for women than men, but I do have more clients that are women that experience it. But it's just like being worried that people won't like you if you're yourself, and it makes me very sad because
totally
then no one gets to experience how amazing you are because you're holding back.
Yeah, I don't know when that started. I don't know if I'm more aware of that type of construct because I'm older, just through the work I've been doing with mediumship and my clients as a coach on a high volume scale, you know, but it's weird. It's like a lot of my clients go through the same things and I'm like, these are how people feel every day. I'm like, why isn't this the stuff that's talked about? Why is it like, you're not weird for, you know, no one's weird. Like you feel something, it's a feeling. It's your feeling. Like you're allowed to feel that. Nobody should tell you otherwise. So it's just weird to me that like we are in a world yet we have so much technology and resources to truly be our best self. But yet there's so many people that are genuinely lost or are worried about hurting this person's feelings or afraid to make up with this one because it doesn't serve them anymore. We owe nobody anything. We have no contract with anyone except for ourselves. From the minute we open our eyes on this planet to we don't open our eyes anymore, like it's you, you know. And I my husband knows this. When I first started dating him, and I said the statement, I was like, I love you, but I love myself more. I said, I will always love myself more. I'll always be number one to me. You could be a 0.1 percentage right below that. But if I don't love myself, then that's the problem. And the more that people step into self-love and doing what truly fulfills them and living a life of honesty and authenticity and genuineness, that will set the stage without you saying anything. You doing those things to yourself for yourself almost puts this like energy out there, like a reverberation to people. Like, if you're not about this, don't even show up. And the minute I really prioritize myself and my goals and my fitness needs, and I use fitness as the example because that's the vessel that I knew, the right people started showing up. And now I can't even tell you a friend of mine that doesn't work out, because that's how I met them. They chose themselves. It doesn't mean that they're all in great shape. It just means that we connected on that fitness level, because tall, short, wide, not wide, it doesn't matter. They all are trying to find something fulfilling from the gym. And that hustle, that energy, that vibe that they give off, it's something that I immediately pick up on. And I'm like, I like you. You're here to better yourself. That's it.
Yeah. And I think like that can be in all sorts of different places, but I do feel like when people are dedicated to something to do with the body, that's going to give them, I don't know, like a through line for your day. Like if you have, yeah. Like I go on my walks every day, and when I, and I've been doing that. Yeah. Today was 3:35. I'm almost at 1 year. I've been doing it more than that, but this has been like me actually keeping track of it and like doing it for an hour. And I go on, sometimes it's more intense and sometimes it's just like around my neighborhood, but like that is the line that keeps me grounded. And I think especially for people who are deeply involved in like a spiritual practice, like they have to, like we have to do something, yeah. Because otherwise you're just floating around.
Yeah, no, I feel that too. And I think that, and this is something, because I don't, some might know, some might not know, but I retired officially from competing in August was my last show. And I've done 14 shows over the last 7 years. I've done 4 as a professional athlete. Like I've done my thing, and it got to a point where I was like, I never did it for like some people do it for very self-serving reasons. Like I want to be noticed, look at my body and this. I'm actually the most weirdest competitor. Like I didn't even have a full length mirror in my house because I don't care about the physical. I really don't. I did it. I competed because I wanted to push my personal level to a disciplinary level. Can I do this? Can I unwavering focus on all these other things going around me, but I can still focus on this and control my variables and control my output? That's why I did it. It was more of an experience and more of a, I can do this. I can.
You're like a researcher. That's what I like about you.
And for me, it's interesting because this always comes up and I always get choked up about it, but I had a client who was suffering from fertility issues the first year of my competing career. And she was going through IVF and it failed a couple times. And I remember us meeting for lunch and she wanted to tell me like, hey, I'm pregnant. And I was like, what? She's like, but it's not like 100% of it. Like it was so early on, like things could have gone wrong like 100 times over. And I remember meeting with her and I was like, well, as long as you're pregnant, I will stay competing this year. I will stay in prep. I will find shows to do for the duration of your pregnancy. Not even kidding you. The third show of that year was week 41. I was in prep, very controlled diet, very high cardio, very no life. I was like dying, literally. I felt like I was dying. And I remember being backstage with Nick and just standing there, and I get a text message. And it was a text from the sister-in-law of my client. And she said, client just gave birth to a healthy baby boy. And I was literally about to go on stage. And I was like, this is my last show of the season. It's perfect. And, you know, I just used competing as a way to be okay with nothing. And what I mean by that, of course, it's a privilege to compete, and it's a 3% of the world that can do something like this and stick with it and be successful at it. And it was more for me about what can you do when you have nothing, when you have no food to lean into, you can't go out and fulfill with these external sources. You have to be okay with yourself going through the process and watching the weight loss or the fat loss rather, and the shaping of your body and this, that, and the other. And if you can control that and you can go through that, literally no one could derail you. Truly, like there's been stuff that's happened. Like there was one of my preps that I did, the moving company stole everything we owned and I didn't skip a beat. I was like, oh, okay, I'm gonna go work out now. Like that was it. We had a hurricane evacuation and another prep. Okay, you keep going, you deal what you can, you backpack your food, you get into the hotel and you deal with it then. my grandfather died in a prep and I couldn't go see because I was in the middle of a prep. Like all of these things were happening. And it was like, well, despite the chaos going on, I'm so at peace with everything because I know that I'm doing what I can and can control it. So for me, competing was a way that I could almost test myself and my limits and my discipline. Because when you do something like that, or, you know, whatever your practice is, whatever your workspace is, or your spiritual space, no one can take that from you. It's not something you can buy in a store. It's not something you can get on Instagram. It's not a quick ship here. It's you doing that work. And the more that people become invested in their craft or their passion or their hobby or their whatever, their family, their mothering, their whatever, their wifing, the more peace that they will find from very little. That's it.
Yeah, I mean, I like just chilling and looking at birds. Like, I never thought I'd be that kind of person. I was like a definitely part, like a drug addict party person, like needed something to fulfill totally. Me. And now I'm like, I'll just sit and chill and look at birds. And I'm like, wow, life
literally,
is cool.
I just left a friend of mine. I met him for coffee and, you know, it just happened to, nothing was planned. I ran into my coffee shop and he was like, yeah, I went to the park last week and just went. And I was like, isn't it freeing? And he was like, dude, like, yeah, I talked to strangers. I met this dog. Like, I just was there. I was like, it's nice to just be, right? Without all the stimulus all the time and coffee here and traveling here and clients on your phone all the time. I get it. You know, as a coach with that many clients and that many potential mishaps, he was like, so like recharged from it. And Webb's laughing. I'm like, who are we? Who have we come? I'm like, what? This is our highlight. We sat outside. Oh,
it's exciting, man. Yeah, it really is.
Like today I worked before I came in, before I had this podcast, I had like silence in my house. So I was going to go put on music and I was like, nah, I'm just going to be here. And that was it. I just kind of did my own thing. And there's the more peace and pleasure you can find from simple things, the less you will be derailed in the bigger scheme of things. You know, I like when I got that move, like when we moved from Denver, from Miami to Denver, we lost everything, every single thing. I was waiting for this moving truck to show up, waiting so I can get my work clothes so I can start my new job. I had to push back my start date. And it was like, the truck was never coming. And at one point I didn't even cry. I was like, it's not coming. Formulate a plan. What are you going to do next? What's the plan of attack after that? How are you going to, recover from this without, you know, completely derailing your entire life? And you just keep going. Because at the end of the day, despite how crazy that event was, there's people out there with far greater problems and are far more grateful to be alive than what I was dealing with. And that was that.
Yeah. And that's like where, you know, you've come through a lot of strength in your mind, like, because that could, you know, throw you off for the next 6 months where you're like, the fuck this, that, and then you don't do anything.
And we all have those people in our life that will literally quote, like, or be like, oh my God, that ever since the car accident, bitch, it's been 10 years. You don't think you've gone through it yet? You know what I mean? Like, you keep saying the same thing as the source of your problem. So let's find the source and figure it out and knock it out. Like, you know, and sometimes that's why I always encourage people working with coaches. I have a coach, I work with a coach, and it's not because I don't know what I'm doing. No, it's because it's that accountability factor. It's sometimes having that mirror to support you. And are you sounding crazy? Is this right? Did I make the right change? Like, it's okay. That's what human nature is about. It's about community and leaning into one another. And what do we do before, you know, televisions were around? And even technology, the cavemen, right? They had communities. They had things they leaned into other people. And this person was responsible for the granite, and this one had the corn, and this, you leaned into each other. That is a basic principle that is so overlooked, and no amount of AI is going to cover that. So stick to your basics.
Don't get me started.
Oh, it doesn't matter. I'm like, you technically all could be AI if you really wanted to, but okay.
Who's to say I'm not?
Literally.
Well, I'm curious, like, if people wanted to get like a coach, like, what, how do you find a coach? Like, obviously I know I've worked with a coach, but not from a physical way, but if someone was like kind of wanting to work on their health and stuff, is that something that people could find a coach for? Like, I know you're doing more body, mind, spirit, but how do people find a coach?
You know, I always say to start with, like, who are the people that you know, kind of gravitate towards on social media? What are the pages you're constantly looking at? What is it about them that you keep looking at? And why are they calling you? Is it because their ability to balance all walks of life? Is it because they're a mom and they work? Is it because of this? What is it about them that you keep following or finding in their journey? From there, I would then say, look at their coaches. Look who they work with. Look who they quote. Look who they, you know, continuously resort to as far as, you know, I worked with XYZ, you know, and that's kind of, you start to kind of find your niches and your, and what works for them. And then you trial and error. You know, I went through two or three coaches before I found my coach, my forever coach, who I'll never, ever not work with. You know, I had about two coaches before my current coach. And what did I like about her? I liked the fact that she was a professional athlete and the best in the world, and now shifted into a lifestyle space and is still keeping up with her fitness and not just this retired competitor who fell off the face of the earth because all they knew was fitness and competing. And then that was it. You know, what do I like about my coach? She is extremely feminine, despite being in a very masculine dominated sport. She has a wonderful relationship with her husband, open communication. She dresses super cool. Like, these are all the things that I looked at, but I was like, I emulate that with this woman. I love her. I think she's great. And, you know, it's just like attracts like. So if you've got to find somebody that you can, that you respect enough to show up for, you respect yourself enough to show up for. And, you know, that's the only way it's going to work. You know, I think there's coaches out there that probably are cheaper or, you know, would do it for free. And there's not a connection there. Why would I? Free, you get what you pay for. You know what I mean? Free is free. So anybody that's trying to barter on these types of services, free is free. And that's what you'll get.
Yeah. And I think, like, you know, there's so many coaches, like I don't want to describe myself as a coach per se, but like who offer also workshops.
Yeah.
And things like that. So it's like you could get a taste of it if you want to see what it's like before you're like, okay, let me commit to this, because it can be expensive, you know, to invest in, but it's all about what you're looking for. If you don't have the funds to get like a seven-figure coach, like, don't do that yet. Don't do that. That's for people who are making tons and tons of money. There's someone who can, you know, do it at a level that works for you, but obviously don't expect someone to be your coach for like $50. That's just not gonna happen.
And piggybacking off that, like, you've got to find value in it. Anytime, you know, an objection comes up with like, oh, I just can't afford that right now, I totally understand. Is, you know, it, what would you say is the, is there a timeline that works best for you? Is it something that you're wanting to work towards? 99.9% of the time when somebody says that, it's because they don't believe in themselves, that they're worth the investment. It's not an insult to me that my prices are not, you know, what they can afford. It's they don't value themselves. They don't think that they're worth spending the money of less than $8 a day on themselves. And that's a different conversation. That's somebody who's not ready to even be with a coach yet because they don't even value it. They're doing it because it might be trendy. They're doing it because their cousin's neighbor, whatever, had a really great results. But the minute I have a consult with somebody, I know who's going to be serious and who isn't. And the ones that say that they're going to come back versus the ones that don't, like, it's never personal to me. It's their view of themselves. And a lot of the times people are afraid of failing. They're afraid of succeeding. I actually feel like this being afraid to succeed is far more common than it is to fail, because they've never been successful, or they didn't have a support system that was been like, hey, do it anyway. Who cares if the odds are against you? Literally. And that's sad. I get sadness from that. But, you know, finding a coach, it doesn't have to be a fitness coach. It doesn't have to be a mentor. You know, it's find a person that you understand their language and they're willing to explain things to you that helps you understand and get to your goal, regardless of what everybody else is doing. And it's not timid or it's not cowardly to have a coach. Like I said, I have a coach myself, and it's not because I can't do this myself. It's because it's another meeting of the minds once a week. Okay, cool. She's changing this. Okay, I wonder why she's changing this. Is this fire change? Yes, it is. Okay, great. It's a confirmation of what I would have done myself, but having somebody else to outsource that stress or that anxiety of overthinking, because again, when you have so much knowledge, 14 plus certifications, 15 years in this industry, it's sometimes nice to outsource what I would overthink and just show up for, you know. Yeah. And there's an element of not being in control that is very powerful in that, because it's like, oh, it's not my problem. My coach will tell me what I need to change. I don't have to think about it. Next.
Yeah. And I think, like, the more that you make these dedicated like windows for yourself, like whether it's the working out and then seeing your coach or even just going to get your nails done, whatever like fuels you, you need to make it like a commitment. And really? I think like you don't always have to have a coach, but I think having someone that you can look up to as a mentor within your industry, because it can be, it's, you can talk to your friends or your mom all you want, but they're not going to get it unless they're like also in it.
And then even to back off that, like most of your mentors and most of the coaches that are out there, you know, they will, if they're good at what they do and you can't afford them right now in that moment, they'll spend the time with you on the phone. They'll spend the time giving you the resources of, hey, here's my ebook for this. Why don't you do this? You know, how many times I've gotten off a phone call with somebody who couldn't afford me in that moment, but I gave them whatever, three pieces of information to change up their current nutrition plan because they had a coach, but they already prepaid for two more months and they were not ready to switch to me yet, but I gave them three pieces of information that helped them for the last 2 months. That was enough to have that buy-in and that connection that they were like, when this ends, I'm going to come back. And they do. And if they don't, that's okay. Like no sweat off my back, you know, and it's look for the other miscellaneous resources that they have as well. And again, don't be afraid to reach out to them. Like I get a ton of inquiries all the time and I spend it.
There's a lot of podcasts out there you're listening to right now. But hello. Yeah, a lot of coaches have podcasts for sure. Yeah. And I think like what you do is a lot because you're looking at not only their physical body, what are you doing with your workouts? How are you fueling? How you eat? What are you eating? But then there's also the emotional side. And that's something I wanted to talk to you about in terms of like food. I myself have suffered from a lot of issues with food allergies, food, it's whatever disorders. I don't even know what to call it. But I think a lot of people have an issue with food. So how do you navigate that in a way that is still supporting them and showing them, okay, you don't have to trip so much about it, but also giving them some kind of like more knowledge around what would be healthy?
So
I know that's like a big question.
No, it kind of is multi-layered, but first and foremost, 99% of my clients that have issues with food, it's never the food. It's usually an emotional trauma. It's usually something from an event that occurred around food, or food was used as a coping mechanism. And when things get high stress in their work, they fall back into these patterns of either not eating or binge eating or this or that. And, you know, first and foremost, my role is this. I don't care with what you bring to check-ins. I'm never going to be mad at you. I don't. What is that going to do? You know, am I going to fall into the role of your parent that you know, that you did, and that's going to perpetuate the same behavior, and then you get no results and you paid for no results? Like, it's stupid. So when I see some of these coaches get personally offended, I'm like, it's you. You're the problem, man. Like, you need to fix this. So I think first and foremost, number one, you're not wrong. You're not weird. You're not anything that you have imposed in your brain because of what was said to you 22 years ago. Food is just food. It's fuel. So when it comes down to clients that might not be following their meal plan, you know, I had one today and she's like, I'm really sorry. I fell off for a couple months. I lost my job. I fell into a super deep depression and, you know, I'm just getting back on my feet. I was like, first of all, hi, it's good to hear from you. How can I support you? What do you need from me? Do you want to be on a certain number of meals per day? Like, talk to me about what makes you feel comfortable within those guidelines so that I can give you the meal plan that's going to support what's already working for you or how your day is. It's unrealistic to think that people are going to show up and like, here's a 6-meal plan. Got to be up at 5 a.m. and you got to eat all these things at once.
7 hard-boiled eggs.
Exactly. Like, it's not going to work. Okay. So I think being number one, you got to listen to your client. If they're telling you something that's happening, you have to have the insight to adjust and pivot. And even though it's not what they came to you, I want to be this percent body fat and I want to be this by this date, chances are this isn't going to actually happen. So without forcing this on them, listen to them. What are they needing? And then tell them, hey, I totally understand. Like, this is what I hear you and this is okay. Let's make these adjustments. Of course, it's going to push back your show, but I don't care. I need to make sure your mental state is correct before you embark on something that's so intense. So I think listening is a big factor in that. Number one. Number two is having knowledge about food and what appropriate nutrients a client should and could be eating. Number three, no two clients are the same. So don't sit there and give them, and why can't you do this? Well, because Linda is not a five time a meal person day. Like, this is what our life is. And you have to just be flexible within that. And a good coach will get their client to their goal regardless of what the textbook says or what this says. And again, there's so much emotion tied to food, and you have to create that space for them to know that their food is fuel. And we don't want to celebrate or punish with food. That's one thing I do. It's like, I call it a refeed meal. I don't call it a cheat meal. You're not cheating on anything. You're giving your body a refeed meal because of a more of a depleted week, for example. You know, and I think it's important to really treat food as its own entity and finding out the reason why the client might be doing this disordered behavior or what it potentially is triggering said disordered behavior, and then modifying the things in their life around that so that their food can be a time of peace and comfort and nourishment more than anything, not a coping mechanism.
Yeah. Do you find like people are often like distracted? Like, do you think people sit and watch TV while they eat a lot? Do you think you notice that?
It's hard to say because it's one thing.
I mean, obviously you're not there with them.
But. Yeah, no. It depends on the client. A lot of the times I just ask more about their home life and how it is and who they live with. And, you know, you start to get to know your clients over time. And, you know, this person, they just got I have a client who literally had to take in five children because of her brother who had an unfortunate situation happen. And she now has from a two child household to a seven. And, you know, I just saw her check in and it was like, I'm not eating enough. I know. That's okay. Let's dissect it, right? Like, let's figure out what we can do to support the most appropriate behaviors around your meals. So with TV, sometimes people do. I feel like I get a lot more people that will either try to self-restrict because they're dealing with a lot of stuff in life and it's the only thing they can control. I've had clients that do that. And, you know, I break it down. How is this going to get to this? And I let them tell me. I'm not going to lecture you. You know, half of them are personal trainers themselves, so they know what the answer is. But again, sometimes it just takes being a mirror and just asking those questions so that they feel safe being able to answer it. Because 99.9% of the time when I'm talking to a client trying to dissect a problem, through my own questions back to them, they say their answer out loud and they're like, oh my God, that's my answer. And I'm like, yeah, that's okay. That's why I'm here.
Yeah, I think, well, I just feel like a lot of people are very distracted in general, like fueling with this and this and this, and then when it comes to actually sitting and eating, and I notice this with myself too. It's like, oh, I could get something done, or I could listen to this, or do while I'm eating, instead of just like sitting and being there. And that's something I'm really working on myself. So I'm just curious.
For my clients that are like having difficulty with that, I tell them, like, set an alarm. Get your, you know, three meals in or five meals in, whatever they're prescribed for their meal plan, and be present with your food. Your chances are your meal plan is satiating and you're full. You just don't realize it because you don't even know when you had that meal or how you had that meal, or you were, you know, eating whatever it is you were doing wasn't present. You know, it's, you're eating with purpose. You know, it's, there was times that, especially during competing, when you're eating this same fucking meal, I couldn't eat cod for years because I had it one time. It was like four times a day on my meal plan. And I was like gagging, but
no more cod.
Literally, I can't do it. I threw actually a whole thing away the other day. I was like, yep, not going to do it. Sure enough. And, but it's like, you know, in those moments, I wanted to be distracted. I would eat in the car. I would try to get these things done with, so I wouldn't have to think about what I was actually eating. But now I'm in a lifestyle phase. I'm still training for life, but I'm like, this food is going to fuel me. Like, this carbohydrate is being in place because I need the energy to fuel my workout. So that when I get through my work, you know, I try to look at it from a nourishment standpoint, not you're deserving of this or you shouldn't eat that. No, all food lines could be blended. You could eat pretty much anything within moderation to be able to and still keep a physique that you want, or to still be healthy or have an healthy option, you know, within something that's unhealthy that you can create a healthy version of. And, you know, on another note, there's so much hidden crap in food today that most people just don't know. You know, that's why when clients come to me, I'm just like, let me hear them out. They don't know. They didn't know this led to this, which is this. Or they didn't know the artificial sweeteners were keeping them more with belly bloating and higher cravings. They didn't know. So you explain it, you show them, they go through it. You tell them, hey, give it 2 weeks, I promise you. And, you know, they are like, oh my God, this is crazy. I never noticed this before, because you're present.
Yeah, yeah. There's so many like weird, especially with like protein bars and protein powders and stuff. People are like, oh, I'm fit, like I'm gonna get my protein in. But then there's like really weird additives and stuff. And it makes one, you're probably gonna be bloated, but then your stomach's gonna hurt, and you're gonna be shit in your pants. It's just like something else that has protein in. That's something that I learned, because I was eating these protein shakes a couple years ago, because I was like, oh, I'm trying to get more protein, because my doctor was like, you have ADHD, like you need protein. And so I'm like, okay, I don't know how to eat, so I was drinking these shakes.
No, and that's another thing, like with me, like even though I'm a competition coach and that personal trainer and stuff, like I, good rule of thumb for everybody, anybody, even more so than the supplements, eat food that's not in a package. Dead ass. It is as simple as that. You get fresh food, you get fresh proteins, you get fresh, you know, whatever it is, things that have an expiration date. Just by doing that, you can even eat over your calorie consumption, 500 calories a day, whatever your number would technically be, hypothetically speaking, you would still have better results than eating under your caloric intake and eating things that are manufactured. Bottom line, we did not have modern day problems with health and wellness because these products didn't exist 50 and 60 years ago. They only came about with these insulin resistant nonsense and blah, 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 because of the food that we're eating. That's it. I will hardly ever have a client who eats 100%, not in a wrapper, myself, I do, but a client will come to me and complain about their weight if they're doing just that bottom, just that rule. And it's crazy, the stuff that's in there. They change names of things all the times. And GMOs are another one. If you're eating GMO food, it's not meant to be broken down. And that's a lot of the stuff they use in the protein bars, is that they're using whey protein. It's one of the worst things for you. You know, where a lot of the vegan products that are out there, they're substituting it for high lectin foods that are causing a major inflammation in the body. That's why 9 out of 10 vegan clients that I get, no disrespect to veganism, I respect
their hormone problems.
They have hormone problems. They have leaky gut because all the shit that they're eating has pea protein and pea isolate and this, that, and the other.
Actually come up in multiple readings that I did for people to stop eating pea protein.
It's a serious thing. And I, again, when you have a lot of clients, you can start to just kind of deduct, let me see your blood work. Okay, this is up, your hemoglobin's up. And that's the stuff that I do. And I like to do that kind of stuff. You know, and I'm actually in a course right now. I'm getting my naturopathic practitioner certification so that I could be the one to administer my client's blood work instead of having to have them call their GP who denies their blood work and then argues with them when they get into the office. And it was like, why do you need this anyway? And then denies them their blood work, which by the way is illegal. So if you have a doctor that won't give you your blood work, won't honor it, won't actually get the panels filled, that is illegal. And you can literally tell them, I want you to annotate that in my file, and you get a copy of that. Dead ass. I have to deal with this on a weekly basis with clients. Doctors are like, why do you need this? You're in a normal range. With all due respect, your normal range is normal for the average
American.
Average American. I will use this now, and the only time I will say this. Do I look like the average American? No. I eat umpteen times over the average American in higher protein consumptions and all these things. So you, again, have that choice and that power. You just have to start asking the questions. But yeah, nutrition today is a very confusing department for so many people, you know, and it just sucks. You know, I get people that genuinely thought they were doing the right thing for their families or themselves, and they come back and they're like, I was told by my doctor to do this. I'm like,
what do you think about raw?
Raw as far as like a raw diet or it depends. I think that it's very applicable for people who are trying to detox. I think it's good for shorter period of times. I think it's good for, you know, I wouldn't tell somebody who's a complete carnivore to go raw tomorrow. It's like changing a dog's food. They're going to have the shits for a week. Like, it doesn't work that way. But, you know, first and foremost, starting with just making sure you're getting 5, 6, 8 servings of vegetables. I don't even know what a serving is, because I just eat vegetables at every meal. I just like eat it. It's fibrous.
Who knows? A lot. Yeah, probably a lot more than people are probably eating.
100%. So I always tell people when they, with any diet, not just raw, like if they're coming to me with something very extreme, I ask them, where did you see this? What is attracting you to this?
I just noticed it's like trendy right now again, and it just goes in waves. It's like vegan, keto, whatever. But like, yeah.
I don't get a lot of clients from the raw side of things because, again, most of them are coming to me with already previous exercise experience. And if not, it's just not something that's as popular. California, definitely my clients there will talk about it more. Even Florida, even New York will talk about it more, but everywhere else, not so much. And again, I just ask them, what is attracting you to this diet? Okay, it's the fact that it's, you know, XYZ vegetables, cool. Why don't we adjust your plan to give you less animal protein and more vegetables and start there? And if you're adherent for 2 to 3 weeks, then we can make the next change. Spoiler alert, most people don't even stay with it for 2 to 3 weeks. And then it's like, we didn't have to go through this whole thing of like redoing it and starting from square one. But yeah, you know, I just always tell them, ask questions. It's like, don't believe everything you read. Trust me, don't believe everything you read.
Yeah, and it's very confusing because there's so many experts, but of course they're an expert on what they do. So if someone's going to have all the info of how keto is amazing, but the raw guy knows all about why raw is amazing, maybe it's good for him. But also with women too, like we have to eat differently than men, just like hormonally, that I think sometimes certain diets that are fads are not like the best for women.
For sure. And that's the thing. It's like a good coach will tell you, you're not supposed to eliminate all the food groups. They're there for a reason. Can we adjust and manipulate the macros of each one during different phases of what you're in? Yes. But any coach who tells you we got to eliminate this, or you have 10 grams of fat a day, run. That's not what we were and how we were programmed, you know? And that's why I say question everything. I have clients who will reach out to me and interview 3-4 coaches. I'm like, sounds good. I'll talk to you soon. And they always come back and they're always like, I want to work with you. You knew the most on nutrition. You understood that. Okay. And again, it's from my own research. I don't ask my clients to do anything that I have not done myself ever. Yeah, we should try that. You're a coach. Your job is to be the expert. Your job is to take the textbook information, the real life application, try it on yourself, try it with your little sample studies, and then be able to speak from it. That's all an expert is dissecting the what ifs, I guess, hypothetically speaking. I could never condone or give something to a client and then be like, hopefully it works, let me know. Like, I would be mortified.
Yeah.
If I had a reaction, I'd be like, oh, I'm sorry, I lied to you.
Yeah, I think one thing I wanted to ask you before we end, I was just curious, like, because I have so many clients for facials that have severe hormonal issues. You know, they have acne, barrage of things, endometriosis, PCOS. Say that again?
All skin issues come from the gut.
Exactly. So it comes from, yeah, what they're eating, the emotional. But if someone was having like hormonal issues, what would you suggest, like going to see a naturopath or a functional medicine doctor or
anytime there's hormonal disruption, it is 100% coming from environment or it's coming from their food. Number one, it doesn't matter. I don't care what you say. I will look at anybody's blood work and tell you this for the next 90 years. Like, this is just the answer. Number one. Number two, if they want to get somewhere in the cheapest and the most efficient and the least money spent option, is clean up their diet, get rid of dairy, get rid of corn, get rid of soy, stop eating GMOs, stop eating things in a wrapper, making sure all of your food is organic. That is the bottom line. If somebody does that, period, that will eliminate 75% of the problems that you will see in skin, period. I know, because I was one of those kids. I had a chicken skin, KP. It was like, yeah, exactly. And when I have gluten, it gets worse. Sometimes I have pizza though, and that's okay. And I'm going to do that for my cheat meal. I'm going to have a little bit of a rash for the week and I deal with it, but I know what the repercussions are. So before these people start spending hundreds of dollars on medications and Accutane and all the things they're
going to I'm like,
rip their
inside. Stop having cheese.
It's literally like, I can't explain it. It's if you don't fix the food, it doesn't matter what you buy, save your money. It's the food. It really is. Now, after that, once your food and you can figure out from the food, if you get your food to a place for about 12 weeks, I would then say, get your blood work done. Once you get your blood work done, you can see, or I always suggest start getting a blood work immediately so you can see where it starts. Then they change the food, only just the food. 12 weeks later, they're like, oh my God, all this stuff fixed up, my A1C, I'm like, yeah, it's food. then I can start to take a deeper look at, okay, here's their blood work now. Here's what I would recommend for supplementation to help support said hormones. Then I have them retest again in 12 weeks to see, okay, of those supplements, what can stay, what can go. But biggest thing with anybody with skin issues, it's coming from your gut. It doesn't matter what. And another thing that a lot of people don't realize, there's a lot of mold toxicity that goes undiagnosed. That will cause the brain fog, the ADHD symptoms, the autoimmune like responses in the body.
Especially where I live in California, it's like crazy.
It was everywhere in Miami. And I knew because my husband has a major mold allergy. So we would walk into a brand new apartment, newly redone. His nose would just start running. He's like, this was flooded. And they're like, well, I'm like, it's okay. I don't have to live here. I can tell. So that environmental stuff, making sure, again, a really good probiotic, and this is something that I could have added to the supplement list. There's a company out there called Visbiome, Visbiome. They make an incredibly medical grade probiotic. Anybody who is dealing with skin issues should get their, they have a packet instead of a capsule. Usually capsules will be anywhere between 30 billion and like 100 billion, depending on the company. They make capsules in 125 billion that I take on a regular basis. However, they make one that's like, I call it the potent pack. It's 450 billion in their packet. When a client is on a major detox, I have them always start with that supplement once a night before bed. Probiotics should be taken at bed as well. And
because that's what I didn't know that.
Yeah, I always thought it was in the morning. And then I was listening to a podcast. I can't remember where it was. And it was like, yeah, it should be taken at night. And I went down the rabbit hole of research. I'm like, oh my God, this makes sense. So okay. Having
really switching them to nighttime.
Exactly. So having a really good probiotic to support your gut health during the detox, especially from mold. Remember, fat holds on to toxins. If you're exploding fat or fat cells are exploding with these toxins as your weight loss occurs or as your detoxification occurs, it's just going to go back into your bloodstream and make you sicker or make you sick. So having a probiotic to support your gut health is going to clear a lot of that out of the way. So in addition to the cleaning up the food, having a really good probiotic are the two biggest things for skin. And again, I'm about to be 35 and I don't do shit for my skin. I really don't. Like, I don't really have wrinkles. I drink a shit ton of water in my day. I eat really well. I have my facial products that I try to use that I feel badly because I spent a lot of money on them. And I'm like, oh, I'll do it today. It's Tuesday. Like, you know,
if you're getting vitamin C, you're good.
100%. And liposomal vitamin C is going to be your best bet. Not anything with absorbic acid.
Fun yeah. Fact. That's the liquid ones that you were talking about earlier, if people are wondering. And yeah. They come in little packs. They taste disgusting, but it's worth it.
It's worth it. It's worth it. And
just yeah. Take it like a shot, you know, with water or something.
Yeah, no, all hormone disruptors, about 95%, again, because you always have those rare cases. If somebody's having hormonal issues, especially my women, it's either environmental, it's either food. That's just that. They clean up both of those things. And I'll very rarely get somebody where I'm like, man, what the, is it a parasite? And then I'm like, yes, it is. And then I go send them to my naturopath and they're like, yeah, you have 3 parasites. I'm like, I knew it. But either way, we have to clean up the food and the other stuff first before we
can to find that out. Yeah. I have a lot of people that come who have like endometriosis, PCOS, but it's just really sad because so many people have had hysterectomies and stuff because that was like the thing that could help them instead of, okay, maybe they could have gone more to the functional medicine side. So I just hope that people can start learning more about it so that we don't have to do that as often.
Yeah, it's crappy. You know, you can't blame the doctors. They're just doing their job.
Just trying to help someone not be in horrible pain. So
yeah, anybody like a PCOS, there's actually another company out there for all my women that are dealing with, and actually this is a company that you should be taking steps from them 100% of the time. Created by a woman who I've been following for years on Instagram, and the company is called ProTea, so ProTea, nutrition.com. They make 2 supplements that actually, one of the supplements my husband takes because it's such a good adrenal support that it's not just like unit. It's not just for women. It's in general. Some of their products are for women only and they have a men's line. But of that company, Baseline is an amazing female support product. It's helped women with PCOS. It's helped women with endometriosis. It just has a lot of good things like ashwagandha and a lot of things that are just really good for the feminine support system. And then the second product next to Baseline is called Angstify, and that's their adrenal support. They are the two top supplements that every one of my clients is on. I don't work for her. I don't get a dime from her. I don't even know her. I just know what she has in her products are so helpful in regulating my clients' cycles, reducing PMS-like symptoms, all these things my clients, when they run out and are like, I don't know what's going on. And they figure it out. They're like, oh my God, I was out my supplement for 2 weeks and I noticed a difference. And I'm like,
wow.
So, you know, if I find something, I share it with the world. I don't care. I'm not one of those people that's like, I'm not going to tell you. What does that do for you?
Yeah, exactly. I love to recommend things. And I feel like that helps people trust you as well. So totally. If you can recommend them something that helps, why would you keep that a secret?
You know, that's the healer in me. It's like, I want to help everybody. And again, you're only going to, you can only help people that want to be helped. And it doesn't, and it shouldn't change what we do on a daily basis if somebody rejects it. You know, I remember getting offended in the beginning of coaching. I'm like, why wouldn't they take my advice? I know it works. That's not their journey. It's not their day to learn. Okay.
Yeah, I have to, that comes up with me because I'll always give advice to my sibling. And I'm like, okay, they're not paying me. I need to stop giving them advice because they're not going to listen. Yeah, especially because I'm not their sister. They're like, yeah, I hear what you say.
Oh, trust me. The amount of conversation I had with my father, he's like, well, I have my gut. I'm like, what should I do? Bro, I've been telling you for 7 years to pull the glue in. I can't tell you anymore. I've written you 3 meal plans. But you know what? I have clients who spend thousands of dollars with me per year that take my advice. And because you're getting it for free, you're not going to follow it. That's not my problem. Stay sick. Like, really, respectfully.
Yeah. Well, thank you so much for talking with me. Anything else you want to share before we close? Anything else you have coming up?
Nothing crazy. The launch of our company, I think our website should be done somewhere between July 1st and July 15th.
I was looking and there's a countdown.
No,
I was like, it's not up yet. But this will probably come out in a few weeks. So I will put the link for that in the show notes so that once it's live, people can buy. Yeah. Are you gonna have a separate Instagram for that, or is it
our Instagram, our website, everything is handled and tagged as Absolution Inc. So our Instagram right now, it's up, it's live. I manage that. Our website is absolutioninc.com. So everything, all the orders that will be placed will come directly from that website, and yours truly will be shipping them out on a monthly basis. Just getting some things finalized with the QR code and just all the good fun stuff. And like I said, our product gets our first, we have three separate, now we got about four separate delivery dates of about 20,000 units each of those times that are going to be spread over the 2 week period each. So this week is the first of the deliveries and getting that all handled in our warehouse, and just crazy to,
that's surreal. So exciting.
I'm like, pinch me. Is this real? Like, this is the stuff that I dreamed about when living in my 600 square foot apartment in Miami with a fucking bath, like a tub, because there were no tubs. It was I literally had a mop bucket that I bought. There was a mop bucket and I put my feet in there and I would sit there and fall asleep at night. And I'm like, okay, I got to get up and go to bed. Like, that's what, this was what I would dreamt of in those moments. So it's just cool to see it come to life. And if it can help somebody, which I know it will, I did my job.
Yeah. And Epsom salt, like we said, is good for everyone. So whether you're using it recovery from workout, or I started using Epsom salt when I had chronic pain every day. So it's going to help you. Check it out. I suggest you guys. And then also, I think if you want to get next level, do your Epsom salt, then get a topical magnesium spray and spray it on your belly and your armpits after. You're going to feel amazing.
I do that too.
My coworker is a massage therapist and put me onto that the other week, and it's so much better because, we lose a lot too. So, and it feels really good for the muscles.
Totally. And the one thing I will say with magnesium sprays is make sure that you mix up the areas in which you spray, because it can be dehydrating to the area. So if you're constantly putting it on one patch, you're going to get a dry patch. So cycle your areas of which you're, spraying, just so that you don't get rotation, because that could just lead to dryness and things like that. So again,
don't put it on your butt hole or anything.
But trust me, there's been some. So with one of the fun story, I'll leave you with this. When we were formulating our product and of course using different essential oils, like we would be dropping the dropper onto the salt. And if you didn't mix the salt in the bath before you got in, you'd be sitting right on this
burning pile, hole.
Burning gooch. And like I would hear Nick and be like, ah, and I'm like, salt.
That's so funny. Yeah, be careful with your Epsom salts and your essential oils. So that's why we got to get the blend. Yeah, because people, especially citrus too, it can burn. Like, don't do that to yourself, please.
Totally, I would not recommend that. But yeah, if you have anybody has any questions, like truly, like reach out to me on Instagram. My Instagram is the Nikki G Show, NIKKI. You know, I answer every DM, I answer every question, even if they're not my client, even if they're working with somebody else. Like, what kind of human would I be if I didn't help somebody that was coming to me for help? It's a privilege to be able to provide this information. My entire life's work is based on health and wellness, and I'm not stopping here. We have 3 other products in the works, and you know, it's just, this is the first step in that. And you know, it's, our goal is to share the information with the world and get everybody healthier, clear-minded, and hopefully above the nonsense that we have to deal with on a regular basis, whatever is being fed to us.
Yes, yes. Well, thank you so much. And if people want to find Nikki, all her links are in the show notes. If you want to learn more about your mediumship and stuff, you can listen to our first interview. But if people want to find you, they know how to find you, and you can also reach out for readings too. If you want to go on a different direction with Nikki. But I'm sure you probably read all your coaching clients too. So it's all connected.
It was weird in the beginning. I didn't know how to manage it because I was like, I would just know. Like when a client would check in, I would like say something, they'd write me back like, how did you know? Like the Cinnabon was my cheat meal. And I was like, well.
I saw you.
I just know, you know, it's like, it's cool. It's definitely cool. And I'm actually, and this is totally sidebar, but I'm working on my own personal website. It's called thefitmedium.com. Ooh. And shifting my business into a more mind, body, spirit coaching capacity. And again, it's not that I don't do that now, but I'm in a very high volume environment right now. And I want to be in a less high volume, more, okay, I'm here, like I'm willing to do whatever it takes. Like what does this look like for me? So I'm working on that. That's coming probably in about 3 to 6 months of thefitmedium.com. And you know, it's just going to be kind of everything that I do now, just compartmentalized a little bit differently, and giving people that opportunity to really combine their spirituality with their fitness, because it's all related. It's how you feel and what you think of yourself shows, and that's what you want. You want to hold yourself in the highest regard possible, so that that's the energy you're giving out, and that's what you attract back, and you can live a happy life, not one full of trauma and this happened and again and no, we're gonna fix that.
You're gonna let it go. I'm so excited for you. Well, let me know once you have it up, and we'll have you come back, and we can talk all about it. Yes. Well, congratulations on Epsolutions.
Yes.
I'm really excited. And we will talk to you very soon.
Yes, thank you so much.
Thank you guys for listening, and we'll see you in the next episode. Bye.